Thank you, sir. I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity to be with you once again by way of radio, and thank the Lord for his great love and his mercy towards me. And he is the God of all comfort. He's the Father of mercies. We don't realize how merciful he is. I mean, he's better than us that we ever deserve. He loves us. He takes care of us. He watches over us. The Bible says that he rains the showers upon the good and the evil. No matter who you are, God's blessed you, and he loves you, and he wants to save you and redeem you, and he wants you to go to heaven. And if you're not saved, he loves you too. You know, God is not partial. He loves us all. That's why he sent Jesus to die for the sins of the entire world. You know, he didn't just come to call the righteous because there weren't any. The Bible says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I preach to you today is the Bible, the King James Version. I don't come preaching my doctrine. I don't come preaching some sort of denomination. I just want to preach to you the Bible and preach it to you like it is. And by the way, the Spirit of God gives it to me. I don't want to just tickle your ears or try to sound good or look good, because I'm not capable of that. Only thing, good thing coming out of me is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit on the inside. That's the only good thing about me. Other than that, my flesh is vanity and vain. That's what the Bible calls it. I mean, the Bible says, and the psalmist said, man at his best state, even at our very, very best, we're altogether vanity and vain. But I'm so thankful to be saved and born again. I'm glad I have something real. I have something alive on the inside. Before I got saved, I was dead. The Bible says that we're dead in trespasses and sin. And we have to be quickened. When he said we have to be quickened, he's talking about the spirit. Your soul has to be quickened. If you're not saved, it's dead. Your soul is dead, and it's on its way to hell. Especially if you've reached that age where you know knowledge of good and evil, and you have an understanding of those things. If you've heard the word of God, you know the difference between right and wrong. You know there's a heaven and a hell. You know that there's a Jesus, and you know there's a God, and you know it's real. If you've come to that point in your life where you know the difference and you choose the evil, you've instantly taken yourself away from God's grace, from his mercy, from his shadow over you, and you have to be reconciled back to him. And that's exactly what I needed before I got saved. I remember that age of accountability for me was 16 years old. That's when God first spoke to my heart, and I knew he spoke to me by the preaching of the word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I heard the word, and I ran from it because it scared me. I didn't want to be a Christian. I was just a young little teenager. I didn't want to be a Christian. I looked at the other Christians around me, and I didn't really want to get around them because I knew that something was holy and something was righteous about that name, Jesus. Something was holy about a Christian because they lived it in front of me. They lived the right way. The Bible says that our lives are living epistles, and that's what those Christian lives were. Before I got saved, they were epistles that were live. They were living it in front of me, and that scared me, and I was afraid of it. And I didn't want to do it just yet because I was just a teenager. I wanted to live in my flesh. I wanted to experience some things in this life. And the devil just lied to me. And the Bible says that he's that roaring lion, walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And he had his sights set on me. And if you're not saved, he's got his sights, he's got his crosshairs right on you, and he wants to take you down. And he will. He surely will. I mean, he's a prince in power of the air. He's the ones that works in the spirit of disobedient. He has a disobedient spirit. He always has. When he fell to sin, he immediately separated from God, and he can't be redeemed. He is a reprobate, so to speak. He's one that cannot be redeemed, and I despise him. He's my enemy. He's my adversary. He's the one that I war up against. And if you're not saved, you're in a warfare. And if you are saved, you're also in a warfare. But if you're saved and you're born again, you're in a winning battle. You're on the winning side. And if you're not saved, you're not. You're in a losing battle. You're in a warfare within your mind, within your heart, within your soul. And that's exactly how I felt. I'm not trying to be critical. I was just that way. I was in a warfare in my soul, in my spirit. You see, I had a good and evil. There's a conscience that we all have. We all have a God-given conscience that he gives you to know the difference between good and evil, to know that there's a God. You have to follow that. You need to follow after that and get into a place where you can really hear the good word of God. And I'm so thankful and grateful, and I didn't deserve to be born into a place where I could really hear the good word of God. I mean, not just hear somebody talk about the Bible or talk about Jesus. I'm talking about somebody that was called to preach, that really preached the gospel. I'm so grateful, so unworthy that I was in a church where I could hear something real, but I'm so thankful that I was, because now I can share that same gospel with other people and they can get saved and born again just like I am. And it's so simple to be saved. My pastor's preached it all these years. He said all you have to have is a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and just be willing to surrender your life over to Jesus Christ and just believe on what he's done for you. See, the Bible says he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, God made Jesus to be sin for us. He didn't know any sin. He had no sin in his mind, no sin in his thought, any way, every type of way. He never sinned, not once. And that's why he was the perfect one. That's why he's the Savior. He's the spotless lamb. He was that lamb without spot and blemish that was prophesied about in the Old Testament. He was that perfect sacrifice that God required, and only Jesus could pay that price. He's the only one that can climb Calvary and die for sinners just like we are. And I'm so grateful that he took that journey. And he came down from the splendor of heaven, and he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that bitter cup he would have to drink, and that was the wrath of God. He was the only one that could take that bitter cup, because if we got what we had coming, if we got our due justice, we'd all go to hell. That's exactly what we deserve, because we're sinners, and we can't do anything but sin. We can do all the good things in this life. We can do everything in the world in our power to do the right things, but it won't get you into heaven. There's only one way from earth to heaven. And that's through his shed blood. That's through the shedding of the blood. There's no remissions of sin. That's through Jesus' paid and perfect work. When he said it's finished, that's exactly what he mean. It is finished. The work was done. The price was paid. And the way was made into heaven. And that way is in drops of blood all the way to heaven. You can see it all the way to the right hand of God. That's where Jesus sits today. And he's still alive. And most people say that God's dead and he's not alive, but I'm here to tell you, he is alive. He's living in me. You may not believe it, you may not realize it, but he's alive in me, and I'm so thankful. That's not a boast on me, that's a boast on him. I love him. He's my friend. He's my personal friend. Whenever I have trials and tribulations, whenever I have turmoil and pains, I can take all my burdens, all my cares to him. And the Bible says that we can cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. You see, I can't love others within my natural self. It's his love that's in me. His love that's in me that it comes out of me when I care about people, when I see those people that persecute me and those that talk bad about me or anything like that. That doesn't bother me. I love them just like Jesus loved those people. And that's not within me. I'll tell you what. I mean, in my nature, in my flesh, if it was the old me, I would say something to them. But I look at him through the eyes of compassion, through the eyes of Jesus, how he loved us when while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And I want that attitude all the time. I want that attitude to grow, because people need help. People need to be born again and saved. They need to get what I have. And that's not a boast. That's just telling you the truth, that I have something real. I have something alive. And when I got saved, I was a new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. I didn't know the Bible said that before I got saved, but when I really read that, after I got saved and thought about that scripture, that's exactly how it was for me. Before I got saved, I was just the same old sinner everybody else was. I mean, you run in your flesh, you commit sin, you try to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, and it's enjoyable for a while, but eventually you hit rock bottom, and that's what I did. I had to. I'm glad I hit rock bottom, because I would have kept on going my merry little way, and I would have kept on going until I got deeper and deeper into sin, and I would have died and went to hell, and that's what I would have deserved. But thankfully, prayer caught up me. Thankfully, the faith of the pastor praying for me and laboring over my soul, and the faithfulness of the church, and them just lifting up my name to God in prayer. I'm so thankful for that. What a joy it is to be saved. What a joy it is to have somebody that can touch heaven for you. And that's what I'm trying to do for you. I want you to be saved and born again. I want you to believe on that name of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what that jailer, he asked Paul and Silas. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He wanted some help. He wanted what they had. They just got done having a singing meeting, and they just had a prayer meeting, and it shook the foundations of the jail. And that jailer, he came and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have what you have?" And they said to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that doesn't mean just believe in your mind. They didn't tell him, just believe in your mind, sir, and you're saved. No, they went to preach unto him the fullness of the gospel. They were telling him that you got to believe from the heart and the finished work of what he's done. He's been to Calvary for you, sir. He's been to Calvary for you, and he paid the price for you. He took the sacrifice for sins for the entire world, and he got up from the grave the third day. Up from the grave, he arose a victor, and he conquered death that day, and he's the first begotten from the dead. He was trying to tell that jailer that you must believe on all the work of Jesus Christ, everything that he's done and that he's still alive. You have to believe on it. With a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That man's heart was broken. It was contrite. He was seeking after Jesus, and he was seeking after some help. And that man got his sins forgiven. He was born again, and his whole house, the Bible said it in that chapter, that his whole house got saved. And that's how it needs to be for you. You need to pour out your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And that's what I did before I got saved. I remember when I was about 21 years old, I began to really seek after God. I had hit rock bottom. All those things I tried, they left me empty. They left me suicidal. They left me depressed, and I wanted to kill myself. But I remember the word of the Lord. It came to me a second time, just like Jonah. The word of the Lord came to him a second time, and that's how it was for me. And the Lord started calling me back to the church, and I started paying attention and really seeking after him. And when you really seek after God, he'll be found of you. The Bible says to seek him while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. And he was near me at that time, and I started to seek after him. And I'm so thankful that two short years later, I poured out my heart to him. I finally bottomed out and just really gave it all up. And that's what you have to do today. You have to forsake everything. You have to be willing to give it all up. I mean, no matter what your ambitions are, no matter what you may think you have, you may have had an emotional experience when you were younger. No matter what kind of salvation you think you have, just be sure that you're saved. There's nothing more important than that. I mean, we only have one appointment that we're never going to miss, and that's death. And you got to be sure. This is the preparation place here. I mean, you can't do anything. Once you die, once the spirit leaves your body, it's over. You have to make your decision here. Whether you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, whether you get your sins forgiven, that's here on earth. This is the preparing place. This is the place where you have to get your heart right before God. Because after you leave this body, after you leave this world, it's over. And your spirit's going to go either up or down. And that's either heaven or hell. There's no in between. There's no way out of hell. And you say, how do you know that? I'll tell you, it's just by the Bible. That's what I told you I was going to preach. And the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And he told Abraham the same thing. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in this flame. He was asking for a way out, and Abraham told him he was a type of Christ. He was a type of God there. He said, there's a great gulf fixed. He said, there's no way I can send Lazarus there. There's no way you can come up here. It's over. What he was telling him was, you had your chance on earth. You had your chance to repent. You could have called out for forgiveness and the remission of your sins. You could have repented and turned from your wicked ways and come to me, but you didn't. You've missed out. And that's exactly how the world is today. And I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm trying to put fear in you. Put that fear of God in you, because that's what was in me before I got saved. I was afraid to die and go to hell. And you need to be afraid. You need to call out to Jesus for the remission of your sins with all your heart. Just repent. I promise you won't regret it. I promise you won't. You'll be made a new creature, and old things will pass away. All your old habits and old ways will pass away, and everything will become new. You'll have a new way of life, a new walk in life, and you'll just love people. You'll have a brand new outlook, and you'll have meaning and purpose. And you'll just have a love for people that you can't even comprehend. But I thank you for listening. I see my time's quickly come and gone. Write to me and pray for me. In Jesus' name, amen.